Good morning. It's great to be here. Great to be with you. I want to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is a passage that has been with me a lot lately. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about this, particularly in the last couple of weeks, because my life is busy, and I feel the fullness of the different things that have been sort of laid on me to do. And we talk about that in our home, and so I've just been, this passage has been something that I've been coming back to, particularly in the last couple of weeks. I wanted to think over it with you this morning, because Kenwood seems to me to be a church that is very busy in ministry too, and that's a good thing. When I say I'm busy, that's not a complaint. I love the things I get to do. I love the service I get to have for the Lord. It's a thrill. It's wonderful. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that is that way. There is so many wonderful people here who are serving in this church, who are busy with their work at home, who are busy with their work in ministry, who are busy preparing to be in future ministry as seminary and college students. It's a wonderful thing to be busy for the Lord. But that busyness can come with a danger. And I think that Jesus helps us get a handle on that in this passage in Luke. And so this is what God's word says to us. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to a passage, even one that is familiar as this one doubtless is, we confess that we need your help. We need the Spirit who inspired this text to give power to its preaching and power to its hearing, and so we ask for your help. We ask that you would give me grace to say true things. We ask that you would give us grace to have the word sink down and be pressed into our heart. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts so that we would see Jesus, so that we would see ourselves in reality, and so that we would be equipped for right and faithful service. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a short and sweet passage, very straightforward, nothing complicated. You've heard it before. Martha and Mary, sisters, famous sisters, actually. Maybe the most famous sisters in history, when you think about it. Very famous sisters. Jesus shows up at their house. Martha is busy, flipping out a little bit because of her busyness. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha kind of has all she can handle and says, "Hey, Jesus, do you notice this problem here? Can you help a sister out?" And Jesus corrects her. And he says, "Martha, no. Mary has chosen the good thing, and I'm not taking it from her." It's a simple and straightforward passage. It's not hard to understand. It's a passage about being close to Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an observation about the passage, and I'm going to talk about some consequences of the problem that we see in the passage, and then we'll be done. And so here's the problem. The problem is that Martha was serving Jesus when she should have been listening to Jesus. That's the problem in the text. She was serving Jesus when she should have been listening to Jesus. The problem in the text is not that Martha was serving. That's not the problem. The problem is that Martha did not get first things first. It's important to get this because Martha was not doing bad things. She was not being sexually immoral. She was not gossiping. She wasn't lying on her taxes. She wasn't nagging her husband. She was doing a very good thing. You looked at it, you go, this is a good thing. She is serving Jesus Christ. But the thing, great irony here, the thing that created distance between Martha and Jesus was Martha's service for Jesus. This passage then becomes a really urgent appeal to busy people like us. People who are busy doing good things. People who are busy for Jesus. It's an urgent appeal to ministers of the gospel, to Bible students, to physicians and attorneys and business people, accountants, stay-at-home moms, kids at school. It's an urgent appeal to busy people like that. The Bible teaches that God honors all of that good work. But this passage warns us that everyone who has very important work to do cannot win Jesus' approval by attempting any good thing for him to the exclusion of spending time with him. We can accomplish no good thing that merits Jesus' favor to the exclusion of spending time with him. If you try to serve Jesus without getting close to Jesus, sooner or later, your service for Jesus will turn into service for you. Sooner or later, your service will be about you and your kingdom and your reputation. And so the only way to keep that from happening is by being people who are like Mary, who spend regular time with Jesus, listening to him, speaking to him. It's the only thing that anchors us into the reality that our service for Jesus really is about Jesus and not about us. Honestly, as I think about this text and as I talk about it with you this morning, I'd ask that the backdrop of this sermon be a sermon that Jim preached several months ago now on John 15 about abiding with Christ. And we learned that abiding with Christ is about a living relationship with Jesus Christ where we listen to him in the word and we speak to him in prayer. It is that abiding with Jesus that anchors our service for Jesus, in Jesus, and away from us. Jesus is wonderful. When you think about this passage, you think about what we read, and you see that Jesus Christ is wonderful. Because what Jesus wants is you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about the relationships that some of us have. Some of us in this room have bosses at work that do not care about you. But they care about your productivity. That's not the way Jesus is. Jesus is not first and foremost concerned for your productivity. Jesus is first and foremost caring about you. Some of you live with people in your house who care less about you than they do about whether you carry your weight at home. It's not Jesus. Jesus desires you to come close to him and have a relationship with him. You don't know anybody that is as important and as glorious as Jesus is, the most important, the most glorious, who cares for you and wants you to care for him. In fact, Jesus is so serious about that, that he has folded consequences into the world he has made if you don't live your life that way. And we see some of those consequences in this passage. We'll talk about three of them. Here's the first one. When you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you'll get worried and upset. If you serve Jesus without getting close to Jesus, you will get worried and upset. We saw this in verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious. That's a sin, anxiety is. Jesus says, Matthew 6, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Paul says, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Jesus says, Martha, you're sinning. You're anxious. Every person like Martha, who's fretful, worried, flipping out, every person like Martha, everybody in here has allowed themselves to be drawn away from the feet of Jesus Christ. A passage that actually kind of illustrates this is in Matthew chapter 14, in verses 22 to 33. We see Jesus walking on the water. We grow accustomed to reading about these things, but that's pretty amazing. Here comes Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, I want to come. And Jesus says, all right, come on. And so Peter got, verse 29, out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Don't get used to that. I mean, what were the disciples in the boat doing? I mean, here's Jesus, and then Peter goes out, and there's two men are on the water. But then we take a turn for the worse here. Verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So this is amazing because Peter was doing it. He was on the water. I would have been afraid in the boat. But he got out of the boat and was on the water. He's doing the work, and then he started to sink. He started to doubt. He became afraid. Why did he get afraid? He was looking at Jesus, and then he saw the wind and the waves. His focus removes from Jesus to the wind and the water, and he flips out. Because water can't hold you up. It cannot. Water didn't hold Peter up. Jesus did. So he started to focus on the scary thing instead of the powerful one. Worry and stress and fear always point to a lack of resources that you perceive. That's what worry is. Worry is, I look around and I see no resources to make this thing work, and anxiety happens. So every time you freak out, every time you're worried, every time you're anxious about many things in your service for the Lord, it is because you are drawing resources from a shallow well. It's because you're doing something that is about you with strength drawn from yourself. And when that happens, when we get worried and upset and anxious, it's a reminder that we forgot who this thing is about. We made it about us and our resources, and we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. We need to get very close to him, remembering that he's what all this is about. He's who all this is for, and he's the one who gives us the resources to make it happen. When you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you will get worried and upset, just like Martha. Second consequence, when you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you'll doubt Jesus. This is what Martha does. Goodness gracious, she's serving him meatloaf or whatever. And she starts to doubt him. He's the guest of honor. And she says to him, verse 40, she went up and said to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister is sitting there with you and left me all alone?" This is not as much an accusation about Mary as it is about Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? Look, take some responsibility. Don't you care that this is happening? Martha has blown it. She failed to get close to Jesus, and she lost her grip on reality. She lost every single bit of perspective. She's lost sight of who this service is for. Now she has made her service about her life. She's made her service about her service. She's made her service about her own kingdom. And now things aren't going her way. They're not going the way she would like them to go. And she raises a question about Jesus' character. And she tells Jesus, get her out of here. Get her busy. I'm all alone, Jesus. See, a similar reality in Mark chapter 4, another water story, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear. There's that again. Fear at the storm, fear at the man who calmed the storm. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples had to get recalibrated. The world seemed to be spinning off its axis there for a little bit. They aren't thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about the storm. They see a lack of resources. They start to freak out. And the first thing they do, "Jesus, don't you care? Wake up. Get with it." This worry and anxiety when your service becomes about you causes you to doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. We do what the disciples do. We do what Martha does all the time. We turn from Jesus. We focus on ourselves. We notice that life just got harder when we do that. And then we wonder why God doesn't care about us. It's not that God doesn't care. It's just that he's not doing the same thing we're doing. That's the problem. Jesus stops us cold, the way he stopped Martha cold, never because of a failure to care for us, but because of our failure to put the first things first, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We want Jesus and our anxiety and our doubt. We want Jesus to get on board with what we're doing. And Jesus wants us to get on board with him. When you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you will doubt Jesus because you're thinking about yourself and you're wondering why he's not on board. And the problem isn't that he stopped loving you, it's that you lost focus. 3, when you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you'll be suspicious and judgmental. If you try to work hard for Christ without nurturing closeness with Jesus, you will be a nasty little person to be around. Look at this in verse 40. We just looked at it a minute ago. Lord, do you not care that my sister left me alone to serve? Would you just do the reasonable thing here and tell her to get up and start working? Now, the thing that's amazing about this is Mary is not doing anything to Martha. Mary has done nothing wrong. She's, in fact, Jesus affirms, right where she's supposed to be. But Mary hasn't done anything to her. But Martha is incensed because Martha believes that Mary's priorities are out of whack because Martha's priorities are out of whack. She's focused on herself. And now everybody she looks at gets evaluated, right? Gets evaluated on whether they are participating in Martha's understanding of what ought to be happening. Listen, Lauren and I have people like this in our extended family, okay? I'm just telling you. Nobody in our immediate family. Nobody in our house, of course. But we have people like this in our extended families. And I know what this looked like in the living room. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. So I know Martha is like breathing heavy when she puts the hummus down on the coffee table. Don't you? She's trying to make eye contact with Mary. Wasn't she? I mean, wasn't she trying to like get her to get a clue? She goes into the kitchen and the other ladies are in the kitchen doing what they're supposed to do. And they're like, can you believe your sister sitting out there with those men? Listening to Jesus teach? What's wrong with her? Martha's going, well, what about Jesus? Who does he think he is? Right? He's out there letting her sit out there. He's letting this happen. So all this is happening. She's got to go out there and help Jesus get a clue. Because they're not participating in Martha's project. She thinks everybody else is confused. She's confused. She's suspicious and judgmental, and that is what happens to us when we're busy, 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 but it quit being for Jesus because we quit getting close to Jesus. 3 ramifications of this suspicious and judgmental attitude. First of all, it turns into a scorekeeper. Oh, it turns you into an awful, disgusting, rude, annoying to be around scorekeeper. You know, ironically, when you live for yourself, when you're making your service about you, your glory, your fame, your esteem, it actually leads you to obsess about everybody else because you constantly have to be watching, are they doing what they're supposed to do? Are they doing for you what they're supposed to be doing for you? And it's this constant observation because you're constantly placing yourself at odds with people. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? So that you're not being eclipsed and you keep a tally. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to always be scorekeeping. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? Am I doing too much? Am I doing not enough? Are they getting too much glory and not enough for me? Turns you into a scorekeeper. Another ramification of this suspicious judgmentalism that grows from service without proximity to Christ is that it turns you into a joyless Christian. It just turns you into a joyless person. So Romans 12:15 says to rejoice with those who rejoice. We and our sin are not wired to work this way. We talk about this in our house all the time. Do you know why God gave us the gracious command to rejoice with those who rejoice? Because he wants to multiply our occasions for joy. That's why. If you only get happy when good things happen to you, then you only have the opportunity to get happy when good things happen to you. But if you would follow Jesus Christ and obey this command to rejoice whenever anybody rejoices, you'd be able to rejoice all those times too. This command is for your joy, and we miss it when we're like self-obsessed and turned in on ourselves. And we think it has to be about us. Martha has no joy in the blessing of Mary to sit at the feet of King Jesus. Which of us would not want such a dramatic and awesome privilege for those we love? It's lost on Martha because she's busy. And it's turned her into a joyless Christian. A third ramification of this suspicion and judgmentalism is that it will compound your arrogance. So you already are arrogant. I don't know if you know that or not, but you are. That's what it means to have indwelling sin. It's what it means to be a sinner. It's what it means to not fully be saved yet. We are arrogant. Life is about us. I think all sin flows out of a heart that wants it to be about my glory and not yours. So I'm not saying it will make you arrogant. I'm saying it will compound the arrogance that's already there. How does this suspicion and judgment growing out of this busy service for Jesus that's devoid of closeness to Jesus, how does it do that? Well, it does it because sometimes when you're busy serving Jesus without getting close to Jesus, sometimes your ministry is really fruitful. Sometimes you can look successful. People will listen to you. People will think you're a great mom or a great teacher or a great employee or a great wife. And if it's your service without Jesus, you will not receive that with gratitude for the good grace of Jesus in your life, but you will receive it as a pride injection, an infusion of arrogance into your soul, and it is deadly. When you serve Jesus without being close to Jesus, you'll be suspicious and judgmental, and all of those awful things will flow from that. So what do? We don't want those things. Those are the consequences Martha got in hot water with Jesus because of those things. And we don't want that. So what do now? Well, let me say two things. First, perhaps we need to simplify our life a little bit. Now, listen, I've read a lot of things about this passage, and you know, sometimes people turn this into instruction to make the casseroles the night before. All right? And I am for making the casserole. You know, Martha's problem is she should have had all this ready, and you know, she could. Fine. And you're laughing, and I see where you're at, but I'm saying that there's some genuine help, and some of us need to simplify. Some of us need to say, I'm not going to make 15 things for dinner, I'll make 2 things for dinner. Everybody's going to be fine. Some of us need to say, I'm not going to do 10 things on my day-to-day, I'm going to do 5 things, and everything's going to be fine. We need books called Make It Ahead, and we need productivity apps, and all those things are helpful. I'm not blowing those off. I'm just saying I don't think that what's going on here principally. I think Martha might have had a practical problem where she needed to simplify, but she certainly had a principled problem of missing Jesus in her busyness. And so simplify, filter out, absolutely. But first and foremost, we need to repent and get close to Jesus. We need to ask God to forgive us for having this whole thing be about us. Forgive us for our worry. Forgive us for our suspicion. Forgive us for our doubts. And remind us of who we're serving after all. We need to come to terms with this wonderful Jesus who loves you and who doesn't want your service for him before you want him. And we need to remember that the lesson for all of the wonderful servants of Jesus in this church who love Jesus and want to work hard for the kingdom, the lesson for all of us who want to serve Jesus is the same lesson that Martha got. It's actually a sobering lesson. Jesus was right there. He was right there. All of her energy was for him. But she missed it. She was not close to him, even though he was right there. So, you're busy in church. Jesus' picture's on the wall in the nursery. It's finals week. You're writing a paper about the deity of Jesus. It's neighborhood cookout time. You're trying to share with your neighbors about Jesus. It's so easy to have Jesus be right in front of your face, but you're not close to him. And so we need to, even when we're serving for Jesus, we need to remember that the call in our life is always to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, even our service, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to be useful servants for Jesus. Help us to do it the way we ought and to get first things first, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, to seek our Christ, to behold him, to love him. And Father, as we do that, put everything else in place as well. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.